sleep on it. Will it pick you up from that fall?
No, yes, it'll pick us. It'll
break good over then.
It'll pick you up breathing.
Huh.
It's a pretty sensitive mic, so I don't think
you want to just ask me questions and me answer.
Well, that would be basically what I want to do. What I'd like to do is kind of start just before the depression and work my way up gradually up to just past World War II.
I can give it to you. I've suffered it all.
Okay. Well, let me start, just like I said, before the depression. What were you doing before the depression?
Farming.
Really?
Raising cotton and corn, to be exact.
I see. What kind of life was it? Was it a pretty good life before the...
It was real good until the depression hit. Out here in the country, we weren't used to the luxuries that people had in town and everything, but we enjoyed what we had. It was a real good life.
Was there that much difference between life before the crash and life just after the crash? Was it like it was night and day, or was it gradual? Was there not much difference at all?
It was a whopping difference.
Really?
And come real fast, the exact. 19 and 29 is when the bottom fell out of everything. And life was just completely different out here on the farm. Well, you just went from living a good life. Of course, now we didn't make big money, but we enjoyed a good, comfortable living, able to get a new automobile every once in a while, wear good clothes. The bottom fell out of everything in 1929, and you just didn't make no money, period.
I see. Well, what do you think caused it all? What do you think was the chief cause of depression?
Well, you're getting in something that's over my head now, but,
Well, did you hear very many people talking about it
yes,
at that time?
And include the people that were supposed to be smart. They couldn't figure out what caused it. But now, if you want me to give you my own personal opinion, and this is my own theory, going through the period up until this day, I believe had we had credit back then like we have now, a lot of that depression could have been prevented. Of course, now there might have been a lot of debts that weren't paid, but as it was, there was a lot of debts that wasn't paid anyway. Banks went broke. People had money lost it and had money loaned out. People couldn't pay when you couldn't collect.
Did you have very much property before the crash?
No, all we had was a 100-acre farm. Yeah. Of course, that was considered a good family residence then. 100 acres would support a huge family, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Did you lose any property because of the crash?
We didn't. No, we didn't lose any property.
Did you know any people around you?
Yes, there was people around that bought land on the credit and lost it. Mm-hmm. And we had to struggle and hold on to what we had there. But farmers, for instance, when things was going good, they thought there was going to be nothing but booming times. And they'd go out and buy farms on the credit. And then when the crash came, they couldn't make the payments and they couldn't pay anything. So then in turn, they had mortgaged their own homes for security to buy other property. Just like a banker tried to get my dad to do. Tried to get him to mortgage our home place and buy a farm next to us. And had he done that, we'd lost it all. But he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Those people that you knew around you, lived around you, and everything, how did those that did make it pretty good, and those that even did make it pretty good, how did they survive during the early parts of the Depression after the crash? I mean, were there a lot of problems with beggars or anything like that?
No, but you would be surprised at how good during that Depression we had less crime than we've ever had at any time. we had less problem of people stealing, robbing. It's just hard to explain. Now, these people now that blame being out of work or hard times for their stealing, I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. Now, during this Depression, we had less problems of people. Well, you just never heard of anybody breaking in your house and you know, mm-hmm. stealing like you do now. It's a common occurrence. But people worked hard. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that people can't hardly seem to understand now. And I guess I'm going to step on your toes a bit here too, but not necessarily you, but you know from associating with people, they can't understand how hard people used to work. And if you sit down just like I can sit here and tell you how hard we worked, and it would sound unreal to you, but in fact, we did work hard. We worked long hours. They weren't no 8-hour day. I've worked plenty of days, 14 hours for a day's work. And it was do that or you didn't survive. It's the only way I could see it then.
You mentioned a lot about people working real hard. How hard was it to find a job during that time?
Well, as jobs, the only jobs that country people out here like we were, you could cut timber. There's a lot of saw timber. The country then was full of good saw timber. Mm-hmm. Well, it set up these country sawmills. And when it was off season from the crops, we'd work in the woods sawing logs, hauling logs to the sawmill. And then part of the time you work at a sawmill at wages anywhere from 75 cents to $1.25 a day. Mm-hmm. Now this is per day, not per hour.
Not an hour.
Mm-hmm. Dollar a day was very common for a salary then for people working. I worked for dollar a day and vineyard day. And what I'm saying is that day wasn't an 8-hour day. That was in, like from sun up till sundown. Mm-hmm. That's how the old countrymen worked then. That was a day's work from sun up till sundown. You didn't have this 8-hour days.
That's right. Was there much problem here in the country? People that just flat could not find work at all?
Well, yes, you couldn't find work. The only thing, the people that was willing to work that hard for a dollar a day, and you could consider you was pretty lucky to get a job with a sawmill or cutting timber in the woods and all it. But that kind of work was scarce. Now, there was a lot of people that couldn't even get that. And they just, they would just didn't have any money, period. But now, one thing, advantage that we did have in the country, we ate. Now, we didn't have to survive through the soup lines or anything like that. But see, the reason we ate good was because we grew it.
I see.
And we raised our own food and we had it there. And just for instance, I can give you our own case there. We had just bukus of fresh vegetables and stuff like that. There's no market for it. There's people needing it, but they didn't have the money to buy it. So we'd eat it, can it, and store it the best we could. And that's how we survived good on food. And in fact, too, the worst of the Depression, we didn't go lacking for something to eat. And it was good food we had because we raised it. We raised our own meat, raised our own vegetables. And therefore, we had food. But as far as money, just to give you an example, my first year working for myself, I made less than a dollar. That was for 1 year's wages now, not for hour. That was for 1 year's wages.
Goodness.
And this is going to be one of them unbelievable facts, but it is a true fact. In my first crop, when I was 18 years old, out of my first crop, I made less than a dollar. But in that same period of time, there was many, many others. Not only they didn't make a dollar, they went in debt. They didn't break even, if you follow what I mean there. In other words, I did break even with a little small change above. But this is how people were going broke. They weren't breaking even. And they were getting deeper in debt. And so when they got as far as they could go in debt, that's when they started going broke, started losing their homes.
Did you know very many people or had heard anyone talking about people in cities that were going through hard times with not finding jobs? having to go through soup lines, things like that?
Personally, I don't know of, but I did read about it and know about it. There was soup lines, and there were people. That's about their own means of survival, but some of our own relatives, just like, for instance, one of my brothers, Sam, and of course, your granddad worked like, say, for $12, $15 a week, and they was lucky to get a job making that kind of money back then. And, you know, $12, $15 a week, of course, then you'd have to understand that that would buy a lot more than $12, $15 will now, but you had to pinch them pennies awful close to survive on that kind of salary back then.
So would you think that the country, someone would be better off during that period of time in the country than in the city, or vice versa?
That would depend. Now, I'm a strong believer on we're not all created for the same kind of work. Now, a lot of people think to be a farmer, you don't have to have any brains. All you have to have is a strong back. That's not true. And a lot of people think that just anybody can go to the city and get a job and make good. Now, I'm sort of like, of the opinion that one person make a good farmer, another person make a good banker, another one make a good doctor. But if you switch them around, take the doctor, he might be the poorest farmer you ever seen. Same way around. If you get what I mean there, that I'm a strong believer that we weren't all created to do the same kind of thing. And you have to sort of find your niche. And just making a statement for myself, I think I'd have been in bad luck if I hadn't learned to do woodwork.
How about the standard of living in comparison to that of the city?
Well, now there, the city people had it better in some ways, but I think all in all, the farmers done pretty good, even in the Depression, because you have to remember, they were eating good food, and that was a strong plus there, because that good food caused you to have a good, healthy body, and therefore you was able to stand that hard work. But it just depends. If you value a pretty suit of clothes rather than good food, the city person might have made it better. But I think most people would prefer to have them good meals.
I see.
And as I say again, I think the farmers suffered less on food than the city people did. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't have any money. They just had to learn to survive without money.
Okay. Was there ever any fear of the country going bankrupt?
Yes, people had all kind of fears, and there was all kind of stories would get out that the country was going bankrupt and the money was going, you know, no good and all sorts of things like. Well, people in a time it got like that, they just didn't know what to expect, and there was pretty bad period of time there when everything looked pretty hopeless and pretty dim. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the first things Roosevelt, when he got elected president, I know you've read and heard lots about Franklin D. Roosevelt, I'm talking mm-hmm. about. First thing he was telling the people that the biggest thing they had to fear was fear itself. Mm-hmm. And you had to get confidence back in people. You know, take country people, when they begin to lose confidence, that's a pretty pitiful situation.
That's true.
And
you mentioned Franklin Roosevelt. I'd like to talk about some of his programs that he helped introduce. And a couple of them, like WPA and CCC. Do you have any experience in them and how effective they were?
Well, personally, I wasn't eligible to qualify for either one, the WPA or CCCs, because you had to have dependents. Mm-hmm. And as long as my dad had a farm of his own, that disqualified for either of us from getting on WPA or CCC. But I would say, in my own opinion, that those two programs was a big, huge help to the country. They was a huge help to the country.
Well, let me kind of start moving towards the war. Still talking about the Depression, though. How much of an effect did the war have on the economy, how it recovered?
It turned it completely around. Really, right on up to, say, 1940. Now, I left the farm in 1933 and joined the Army because of work being so scarce. And farming, it just got to where it was just nothing. But right on up until 1940, jobs were still pretty hard to get. And people, the only thing this WPA and CCC camps had helped considerably. But the economy really wasn't recovering at too good a rate until they started building up the defense. And this defense work, building up the defense of the United States, that was a tremendous thing. And it's hard for the imagination to realize just what happened there. In other words, when they promised, well, I forget how many thousands of planes they were going to build a year, it just sounded unreal. I think it's like maybe, say, 50,000 planes a year the United States was going to produce. Mm-hmm. And the Germans laughed at it. Impossible. But it wasn't only possible, but it was accomplished. And when all that started, then, of course, there were jobs plentiful. Anybody that wanted to work could get work. They were begging for workers, in other words, at that time.
Okay. My dad here mentioned that earlier that you had been in service twice.
Right.
Why did you leave the service the first time?
Well, I laugh and tell people the first time I left the farm and joined the service to keep from starving to death, which is a little exaggeration, but there was no jobs. As I said there again, it's either work at a sawmill, or cut logs, or cut cordwood. Just real hard labor at practically no salary. So I couldn't qualify for the CCCs, and I couldn't qualify for WPA. So I joined the Army, and I'd done 3 years in the Army at Fort Benning. And that was 1936, and I considered the economy was getting enough better that I could make it all right, and I got out of the Army. I didn't care to take the Army as a career because at that time the Army for a career was pretty poor. It wasn't anything to compare with what it is now. And I got discharged in 1936 and stayed out 3 years, and then the European countries started going back to war, and it was looked like a sure thing that we was going to get involved in it. And I turned around and joined the second time. That's how
okay, what year was that?
I joined in 1939.
Okay.
And that time I joined to keep from getting drafted. The first time I joined, I'd say to keep from going hungry without employment. But the second time I joined is when I just realized it was a sure thing that they was going to get me. And I'd rather join so I could have a choice in what outfit I wanted to get in.
Okay, let me check my tape real quick. I know it's been running for a while. I'm afraid it'll run out here.